Okay, this movie is meant to be a quick start guide to sands reduction. Each of the steps I'm going through, I'll go through rather quickly, but there's more detailed help in the written manual and also in separate help movies. So to start a sands reduction session, from the macros menu, choose Load NCNR Sands Reduction Macros. Once it compiles, a yellow control panel will appear. Eventually. And here it is. From this control panel, you can do all of the data reduction operations and some simple data manipulation. The first thing to do is pick the path to your data. In this case, you can navigate to the package folder that you unzipped. And in that folder is a folder with SANS utilities. This contains sample data. Navigate to the SANS reduction folder. This contains a simple set of example data. Once you have selected the folder that contains the data, then get a catalog listing of the data files. This shows you what is in the data files. The file names, labels, when they were collected, sample to detector distance, wavelength, number of guides, counting time, total counts on the detector, count rate on the detector, transmission of the sample, thickness of the sample, X and Y beam centers, and number of attenuators during the measurement, and in this case rotation angle and temperature were not set, nor were magnetic field. Final columns are monitor count rate and sample position in the sample holder. The most important things are actually the file names and the sample labels. The sample label, this is as you entered it during the data acquisition, so be as descriptive as you can. Next thing you want to do is actually see the data, and this is done by display raw data on the raw data tab. Pick any of the raw data files. You get a 2D display of the sample. There's a readout of what the sample label is. You can further see the status, a little bit more detail about what's in here without having to refer back to the data file catalog. You can change the scaling from log to linear, not very exciting on a transmission measurement, I admit. And then with the arrows left and right, you can scroll to the next run, run 2, run 3. The 2D display is updated as well as the 1D plot. You can then change the scaling of the plot to maybe log, and this again will update as you move from sample to sample. You can close these windows, they'll be regenerated automatically anytime you want. The next step is to calculate the transmissions. The transmissions must be calculated and entered into the header of the raw data files before the reduction can proceed. Click on List Files. It will list files and sort them into two tables, one of transmission files and one with scattering files. This is determined automatically by the fact that the beam stop is out of position during a transmission measurement. What we're looking for is the empty beam measurement that was measured at 4 meters. All of the transmissions, the transmission of the quartz cell and the transmission of the silica, were measured at 4 meters. The empty beam is the reference beam for this condition. So, select the empty beam run number in the blue transmission file names column, and then on the brown panel, set empty file. That sets the run number, and the box here currently is all zeros. So we need to reset this box, defining the patch where we will sum over. So we're asked to select the region to sum with the marquee. And what that means is to click and drag a box that subtends the primary beam. Move the cursor inside the box, click, and get a menu, and select the option Set XY Box Coordinates. That sets the box coordinates now, defining this region to sum. We can close that 2D display. And the next thing we want to do is define the empty beam as the reference beam for all of our transmission measurements. So we can simply do this by selecting the button Use Empty for All. And what this will do is fill that selection in. So now the transmission of our quartz cell will be normalized by the transmission of the empty beam. The next step is to make the correspondence between the transmission of a particular sample and its scattering measurements. And there can be more than one scattering measurement. To make this a little bit more convenient, we can sort samples by label. That tends to group the quartz cells, silica samples, together. It makes them a lot easier to find. So the correspondence can be done in two ways. First is to select the transmission file, copy, and then paste that run in both of these places. It has to be pasted in two places because these are both scattering measurements of the same sample. Then with those files selected, you can click on Calculate Selected Files. It will then go through and get the appropriate ratio. We see a transmission of about 93%, which is appropriate for an empty quartz cell. The other way you can do this is by holding down the Shift key and clicking on a particular transmission measurement and say guess using, in this case, maybe the first six characters of the sample label. It will try and make a match and find that that matches these two scattering runs. In fact, those are correct, we can see from here, so we can go ahead and assign the transmission files. This will assign the transmission files and go ahead and calculate this transmission and write it into the files. This is much easier if you have a very consistent method of labeling your transmissions and scattering measurements with the same consistent file label. Once this is done, you can say done, and we can move on to the next step. Okay, now that the transmissions have been calculated, the next step in reducing the data is switch to the reduction tab on the main control panel. And we now need to build reduction protocols. This is set up a sequence of steps that will correct your data for anything that is not scattering from your sample. That is to subtract off the background and to subtract off the scattering from the empty cell, that is your sample holder. It's simple steps of filling out essentially this blue panel here. Sample, we'll get to that in a minute. The background is the blocked beam file. We'll start setting this up for the 1.3 meter configuration, and then we'll have to do the same thing for the 4 meter configuration since it's a different instrument setting, and the background and the empty cell scattering as well as the sample scattering will be different. So the first thing to look for is the blocked beam run at 1.3 meter. The full file name is given in the file column, but we only need to refer to it as a run number, and that is a 3 to 5 character prefix, and then 004 is the run number. So in this case, we only have to enter the run 4. The empty quartz cell scattering, and be sure not to pick the empty quartz cell transmission. The empty quartz cell scattering at 1.3 meters is run 3. You can type in run 3. Now, the detector sensitivity is pre-measured by the instrument scientist at the start of the cycle. That is this file. Select it and click Set Div File. You'll notice the .div extension. This corrects for individual variations in the sensitivity of the pixels on the detector. The absolute scaling is given by the empty beam measurement. This is measured at with nothing in the beam except a calibrated attenuator. So it's run number 2, excuse me, run number 1, we're at 1.3 meters. We need the empty beam measurement at the same distance as the scattering measurements. So if we click on Set ABS Parameters, and we want to use an empty beam flux method, pick run number 1. Say Open. It will open, and it's asking for this region with a primary beam. This is similar to setting the XY box as before. Simply select the region, and in this case, press Continue on the gray box. Next thing that happens is a dialog pops up and says Select Detector Sensitivity File. It needs to further correct the pixels for the individual sensitivity. Select the plex.div file, say Open, a number is calculated. It says kappa was successfully calculated and should be, in this case, a number on the order of 10 to the fifth, since we're at a very short configuration with a lot of neutron guides in. The last thing to set is the default mask. This masks 3 pixels all the way around the edge of the detector, which are typically not terribly reliable. The final thing to do is to set the averaging parameters, and in this case we want a circular average. There are a number of other choices here. We want them saved to disk, automatically name them, plot them so we can see, and other steps are for different types of averages that you can read about in the manual. Click continue, and at this point we have a protocol set up. We can test this to make sure it works by selecting run number 9, which is a scattering at 1.3 meters. Type in run number 9 as the sample file and click reduce a file. It parses to make sure everything's entered correctly and then goes through and reduces a file and converts it to absolute scale. Everything looked good here. Didn't generate any odd looking data. So at this point we can save this protocol. And this is absolute scaled, 1.3 meters. We'll just call it 1 meter for short. That way, if we were to take more data at 1.3 meters, all of that data could be processed using the same protocol. We need to set up the same thing for 4 meters. Clear that because it's 1.3 meters. And the blocked beam measurement at 4 meters is run 7. The empty cell scattering at 4 meters is run 8. Same sensitivity file, same mask file, same averaging options. This time the absolute scaling parameters come from run 2, the empty beam at 4 meters. So click on set abs parameters, empty beam flux method, run 2, open the file. We have already set the box as this is the empty beam reference file for the transmission measurement. In this case, we don't need to override the values. Simply say no. We don't need to pick the detector sensitivity file. We've already selected that. It already knows. Kappa value here is calculated is substantially smaller. We're at a larger detector distance, meaning there are fewer neutron guides in, so a smaller flux value. Silica scattering at 4 meters is run 10. We can use that as a test, and our run 10 as the sample file, and reduce a file. Everything parsed correctly, and the data is corrected and reduced and averaged. So we now have a protocol of the absolute scaling at 4 meters to save. Again, everything measured at 4 meters would run through this protocol. At this point, if you want to reduce more files, you can enter them in one by one in the sample field and click reduce a file. Alternatively, you can reduce multiple files by selecting the multiple file tab button in the main control panel. And then the first thing you can do is select a list of files at a given sample to detector distance. In this case, say 4 meters. What this does, pops up a table with 4 meter scattering runs and their particular run number. You can inspect this, make sure it's correct, and then if it is, accept that list. Then these runs are added to the list of files to reduce. Automatically, the empty quartz cell and blocked beam are removed from the list. If they aren't actually removed, you can delete them from this list very easily by either deleting them from the table or simply deleting the runs in this list. We want to reduce these with the 4 meter protocol. Doesn't matter how many runs are in this list. If we click reduce all files in pop-up, it will simply go through the list and grind through them all and reduce them. The output of the reduction process is a reduced 1D data file. In this case, the prefix and run number are preserved with the .abs extension. The ABS indicates that it's on absolute scale and the X indicates in an XML format. Once you're done, you can say done reducing, and this clears both the panel and the table. The next step, once they are actually reduced, is you may like to actually see what your data is. And from the 1D operation, you can plot, and this brings up another panel with a list of reduced data files. Shift-click will allow you to load these in. If you click Load Files, the first set will be loaded, and subsequent files, you'll be asked if you want to append that to the current graph. Here we'll say yes, and we can see that we have two data files, 9 and 10 at different distances, and they apparently overlap quite nicely, but there's all of this gibberish down here at lower Q, which is actually data points that are behind the beam stop. In the next step, we'll get rid of these extraneous points, which are not real data, and combine them into one data file. Okay, we successfully have reduced data. We plotted it. It looks pretty good. Now we can combine these data sets into something we actually can analyze. We can close this graph and say no save. We don't want it. And these two data files, we can actually get rid of these from Igor's memory by saying remove all data from memory. That means any data file that isn't currently being used in a graph or a table is removed from memory. Doesn't hurt anything on disk, just removes it from the local Igor memory. Say done to get rid of the panel. And the next step is to sort these data files. The panel pops up and you'll be asked to pick the low Q or lowest Q data set, which in this case is run 10, which was run at 4 meters. The medium Q is run 9, and we only have two sets in this case, so highest Q is none. We can plot each of these data sets by clicking the plot buttons, move the dialog out of the way, and we can see the two data sets. We want to trim off some number of points from the beginning of each data set, say maybe 10, and these points actually show up, expand this a little bit, show up as the open circles. Any of the open circles will be removed from the final data set. In this case, that's a few too many. Probably about 7 is appropriate. From the low Q end of the second data set, we probably want to remove about the same amount, about 10. That's pretty good. And then from the high Q end of each data set, we'll want to remove some of each of the data points. In this case, from the lowest Q data set, these are rather noisy. I probably want to remove about 20 of these. That's about good, and then probably about 5 to 10 points from the highest Q. I expanded and looked in a little closer on some of these data points simply by zooming over a box and saying expand. Once you do that and want to see the rest of the data, you can either from the graph menu say autoscale axes, or simply control or command A saying you want to select all. Once this is done, we need to manually combine these data files into a single data file. It's going to have to either combine them strictly in a one-to-one sense or normalize them to a particular file. In this case, you want to choose typically the lowest Q to normalize to. We'd do this if you had autoscale selected. In this case, the overlap is good. I'm going to leave it be and not do any scaling of the data at all. So I'll write the combined file. A dialog pops up and it asks me what the file name that I want to save it as. In this case, I'm going to call it Silica. Very good name. At this point, we're done with the scaling. If you had more data files, you'd simply just keep selecting the pairs of data files in the pop-up and writing the combined file. Say done to dismiss the box. And at this point, we're ready to do analysis on this. I'd actually like to extract some numbers So to the macros menu, select load the NCNR analysis macros. Once this compiles, we can actually hide the sands reduction macros and get this out of our way. The first step is to load the data file in. This is our silica data file. Open that, there's our data file. I know this is our silica spheres, so from the model list I can pick something like Schultz distributed spheres. Include this model function into the list, and then plot either just the Schultz sphere model, or in this case, since I have pinhole smeared data from the sands instrument, plot smeared Schultz sphere function. Plot it, append that to the data set, and like any graph in Igor, simply double clicking on something typically allows you to change it. I can change the color of this so it's a little bit more appropriate. And then start to adjust parameters in the model to make it a closer fit. In this case, make the background closer to 0.1. Radius looks pretty good. I don't know the contrast in this case, so in the hold column, I'll just hold both of these fixed at 1. And at this point, I can just go ahead and try and fit. It's a simple enough function and it's a fairly close guess. So if I click on Do the Fit, actually I'd like to see a report of the fit as well. Click Do 1D Fit. The fit progresses fairly quickly. A report shows up. Visually, the fit looks pretty good. It's a little bit of a mismatch at low Q, primarily due to the fact that these are charged spheres, although they are dilute. You see the final results of the fit, the values, and the error on the fit parameters. Zeros for anything that was held, the chi-squared, fitted range, and of course the best judge of the fit is what it actually looks like. So there it is. Starting from raw data, all the way through reducing it, combining it, and fitting it, and getting statistically, hopefully, meaningful results on the final fit of the data. From here, you're on your own.